When is a search engine not a search engine? When that search engine is TikTok. With us to talk about changes in the search world, digital strategist Scott Kleinberg. Scott, good morning. Are we ditching Google? Is that what this is all about?
Good morning, Bob. No, but what we've learned over the past several years, and we're now seeing further evidence based on this new study, is that a traditional search engine is one way to search, but it's far from the only way. And in this case, we're finding that people are embracing TikTok to search. So this is a new study by Adobe, the same company behind Photoshop and Acrobat, and it's found that more than 2 in 5 people have used TikTok as a search engine. But to be clear, Google isn't going anywhere, still very popular. In terms of order for search, it's Google 1, YouTube 2, Bing 3, and TikTok 4. So as you can see, YouTube, which is another platform favored by younger audiences, disrupts the list in a way where it's actually between Google and Bing.
I remember not too long ago, TikTok was about dancing and singing, and mainly for young people. But I talk to people, adults, who everybody's on TikTok but me, I think.
Well, there's still time, Bob. And, you know, I remember that, too, because, as you said, it wasn't that long ago. We live in a time where social media evolves quickly in terms of usage, trends, and platforms. Here's TikTok that went from this really niche platform to this more general platform with older people using it as well, to an entertainment hub that also happens to double as a search engine. So these days, it's hard not to be aware of something that's happening on TikTok.
But with everything you just said, TikTok is still wildly controversial, isn't it? I mean, the connection with China, bans within government, not everybody is happy about how we are embracing TikTok.
Oh, absolutely. And I'm sure there are a lot of people out there who feel that way. But digital consumption isn't about politics and the relationship between the U.S. and China. It's about convenience, and it's about trust, and it's about habit more than anything else. For so many people, TikTok is convenient. It's a place they trust. It's something they do out of habit. And while we're talking about a study of TikTok as a search engine, it's not the only app that people are using in that way, like we were talking about with YouTube. People are spending extraordinary amounts of time on apps like YouTube and Instagram as well, and they're staying there. And I'm sure we'll eventually see studies like this for other apps in the not-too-distant future.
And we're with digital media strategist Scott Kleinberg. We're talking about people using TikTok to search. Scott, do we know what they're searching for?
Well, Bob, according to Adobe, it's new recipes that top the list at 36%, followed by new music recommendations at 35%, and do-it-yourself tips at 34%. They also mentioned fashion advice, workout routines, movie recommendations. It seems to be basically anything you can type into a search engine that you can also type into TikTok search.
But when you're on TikTok and you run a search, you don't have to go somewhere else like you do after a Google search, right?
And honestly, Bob, with that, you just hit on the prize. If people are already on TikTok anyway and they're searching for things on TikTok and they don't have to go off the platform, that's a win for everyone involved.
Sounds like there's also great news here for business owners.
Yeah, there is. Let's say you run a restaurant and you're active on TikTok, and one of the things you post to TikTok is recipes. Well, we said earlier that 36% of people are looking for new recipes. If I type in chocolate chip cookie and you as a restaurant owner have a video about how to bake the best chocolate chip cookies in the world, you're not only likely to be found in a TikTok search, but the other content that you have online is by extension more visible. So now, all of a sudden, people are seeing your chocolate chip cookie recipe.
Yeah, but what if it's not chocolate chip cookies? With so much out there, how do you know what kind of content to create?
Well, figuring out what kind of content to create is the hardest part of social media, hands down. Always has been, always will be, because you're racing around trends and you're trying to understand people's whims. On a bitter cold day in Chicago, hot cocoa and chocolate chip cookies might be trending. On a hot summer day, that might change to lemon sorbet. So the answer to your question is you have to not only be willing to pivot and adapt, you have to also have a keen eye for search trends. Maybe you have videos with cold weather staples and hot weather treats. If you do, You want to highlight those based on trends and weather. If not, you could create something to have on the proverbial shelf for the next time someone searches, or you can go a step further and really dive deep into the types of recipes that seem to capture the most interest in a search and then have something to match that search. You may not get it right every time, but knowing what people are doing is where it all begins.
You said so many times, know your audience. Same thing, right?
Yes, exactly the same thing, but with the slightest caveat. Even if they aren't your audience yet, they most certainly could be. So with some ingenuity and research and a whole lot of patience, you know, when we talked about this topic last time, you know, I've always said that you have to make sure you know when people are changing to new platforms. This study tells us a little bit more in that people are definitely, if not switching to TikTok, they're at least trying it more than they have in the past. So as you're thinking about your overall strategy, always keep that in mind.
So as someone who has been studying social media usage and habits, as you have for so many years, what's your key takeaway from all of this?
Well, one, that nothing ever stays the same. I mean, look at what happened with X, formerly Twitter. It's a platform we thought would never go away, and now it's been replaced by something we barely recognize. No one imagined that it would happen in the way it did, but who in a million years would have thought that a search engine as well known as Google would be mentioned in the same sentence as TikTok for search dominance? I mean, I definitely didn't. And two, never judge a book by its cover. You mentioned earlier, Bob, that you remember not that long ago when TikTok was dancing and singing and lip-syncing. And here we are using it in the same sentence with Google and Bing for entirely different use cases. So for as surprised as I am about how much of a player TikTok has become in search, I'm not surprised that things change this rapidly in the online and social media space.
Well, what's a logical next step that someone can take, someone who wants to see what all this fuss is about?
That's a great question, and I think there's an easy answer. If you haven't already, download TikTok. Type something into the search bar. Choose a topic you enjoy or something special to you. It really doesn't matter what it is. Just search for it on TikTok. Then search for the same term on Google or do it in the other order. Explore why TikTok is the subject of studies like this. Because by going through this exercise, you can identify what's actually shifting people's habits. Additionally, you can creatively brainstorm ways to create your own content around the subject. We were saying before, content creation isn't simple, but it's much easier to come up with a TikTok video that appears in someone's search than trying to figure out how to get to the top of the first page of Google. That's like the hardest thing to do, right? Both approaches work, but you may find one way is better than the other.
I guess I've got to get on TikTok. All right, let's get to the Genius Bar. Scott, a lot of people wondering about this new setting to protect your iPhone content if it's stolen. What do we need to know?
So this is a new feature in the new version of iOS, which just came out yesterday or the day before, 17.3. It is not on automatically by default. So if you're interested in this protection, you have to turn it on. It is found in the settings section where you find the Face ID and the passcode. So it's under that section. And what this is basically doing is it's making your phone act differently whenever it's not at your home or work. Because your phone knows your home and your work based on your location settings, let's say you're somewhere really weird, just out in a store somewhere, and someone tries to change your iCloud password. Now, it may be you. But your iPhone is going to say, why are they changing their iCloud password in this place of all places? We're not going to let you do that right away. We're going to go through some processes to figure out and make sure it's actually you. Now, if you did the same exact thing at your home or the same exact thing at your work, your iPhone's smart enough to say, hey, wait a minute, this is him because or her because they're working here and they live here, and we're fine with that. This protection makes it so if you're out somewhere where you're not usually and something weird is happening with your phone, there's a step before something bad happens and someone can take it over.
So is there any reason not to use this setting?
I have not found one yet. That is a great question. I've been trying to think of why someone would not want to turn this on. The thing that's interesting to me is they didn't turn it on by default, but I think the reason for that is there's so many different reasons why someone might need to change a password. You have to make sure it's right for you. As far as I can tell right now, I cannot think of a reason not to use this. This seems like something that's long overdue.
Yeah, sounds good. And from one of our listeners, this text for you, Scott. My old phone was backed up to the iCloud. When I got my new phone, I couldn't find all of my photos. Only some of them are there. Any idea what's going on here?
It's a little bit hard to diagnose something that specific, but I will say two things. Number one, is it possible that you did not have enough storage on your new phone versus what you had on your old phone? You want to make sure that what you're transferring has enough space. Also, number two, this might be more likely. Sometimes the translation between the cloud and local device, there's a lot of things that have to happen. There's a lot of speed issues. I would make sure that when you're doing the download from the cloud to your new device, make sure your phone's plugged in to power. It's on a very strong Wi-Fi signal that's uninterrupted. And the last thing I can think of, maybe just upgrade your iCloud storage one level, pay the extra money just to see if it's a storage issue. If it is, and everything works, you could always downgrade later. But that just may be one way just to make sure it's not a storage space issue.
Scott Kleinberg's Genius Bar is closed until next Tuesday. Thank you, Scott. Have a good one.
You too, Bob. Thank you.